Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I know you've all of you have probably heard, maybe even have used the term before, the good old days. Those were the days, right? Back in the day, I do want to read you some comments that were made back in 1955, and if you were not here on earth during that time, that's okay, I wasn't either. But back in 1955, here are some comments made, and I'm reading these because it ties right into the message tonight. I'll tell you one thing, if things keep going the way they are, it's going to be impossible to buy a week's groceries for $10. Have you seen the new cars coming out next year? It won't be long before $1,000 will only buy a used one. Did you hear the post office is going up in price? I'm sorry, the post office is thinking about charging 7 cents just to mail a letter. What is it now? For a stamp? How much is it?
60 cents.
60? If they raise the minimum wage to $1, nobody will be able to hire outside help at the store. When I first started driving, who would have thought gas would someday cost 25 cents a gallon? Guess we'd be better off leaving the car in the garage. Never thought I'd see the day all our kitchen appliances would be electric. They're even making electric typewriters now.
Wow.
It won't be long before young couples are going to have to hire someone to watch their kids so they can both work. I'm afraid the Volkswagen car is going to open the door to a whole lot of foreign business. The fast food restaurant is convenient for a quick meal, but I seriously doubt they'll ever catch on. There's no sense going on short trips anymore for a weekend. It costs nearly $2 a night to stay in a hotel. No one can afford to be sick anymore. At $15 a day in the hospital, it's too rich for my blood.
Wow.
If they think I'll ever pay 30 cents for a haircut, forget it.
Whoa. That's deep.
That was only back in 1955.
Goodness, huh?
Those were the days. Have you ever made that comment? Believe it or not, there's danger in that. And we're going to see that here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. Let's read that. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this.
Wow.
Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I do pray that you would help me guide my words. Help me to say only what I should. Help me to relay your message to your people accurately tonight. Lord, help us to draw closer to you because of what you show us in your word. And I thank you for it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Even back in Solomon's days, people were doing the same thing that we're doing, and that is longing for the good old days. So, I'm sure you're probably asking, maybe you're in your mind, what's the problem here? What's the What's the problem in saying that comment? What's the problem in that mindset? To wish for things to be like they used to be means that we're not seeing or at least looking for the blessings that God has given us today.
That's so good. Truth.
We forget many important factors of yesteryear.
Right.
Yes, $1,000 bought a new car. Yes, you could buy your groceries for a week for $10. What we forget was, is that the average monthly income was $283. That's $70 a week. We forget that part.
Yeah.
We think of our income today and then look at the prices of things back then and wish that we could have the prices of things back then with our income today. That's just not reality. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Here's the problem. We're not content. Mm. Jesus said, be content with your wages. He said that in Luke chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
How many people across the world today are not content with their wages? How many people in this room tonight are not content with the income that you have? Paul said in Philippians 4:11 that he had learned to be content in whatever state he was, and he named some of those states. One of them was hunger.
Yeah.
And he had learned to be content while hungry. He had learned to be content in prison. He had learned to be content after being beaten. He said he had learned to be content in whatever state he was in. Not us. We are bent on having more. In order to be discontent, we have to be unthankful. Being unthankful is a serious problem.
Yes, sir.
Remember, God killed thousands of the Israelites for being unthankful.
True.
Tens of thousands in a single day.
That's right.
They were being unthankful. They were coveting more and better. And get this, wishing that things were like they used to be.
Well, that's true.
Back in Egypt.
That's right.
What was their problem? They were not content. They were unthankful. They were covetous. The reason God hates unthankfulness or discontentment so much is because it shows a serious lack of trust in Him and an ungrateful heart.
That's right.
The truth is, we don't even like ungratefulness in other people.
Yeah.
We teach our children to say thank you at an early age. We want them to grow up to be a thankful, content person. By the way, parents, you're not raising children, you're raising adults.
That's so true.
You're preparing your child to become an adult and hopefully a servant of Jesus.
Amen.
And what are you doing to do that? You want them to be thankful. You train them by your actions, though. Not by your words. You can tell them over and over and over. Say thank you. Say thank you. What do you say? And they'll say it. They just won't be it. If you don't train them with your actions.
Wow.
So the better question, I guess, here is, are you thankful? Are you content?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not, you're not training them to be.
Mm, that's good.
Do they hear you complain about things? Do they hear you talk bad about others when other people do things or say things that you don't like? What you're doing when you're doing that is you're training them to be unthankful, discontent with life, and sadly, discontent with God.
Yeah.
Our problem is we have a warped perception of what having a good life is really all about. We think that a good life is having a good job, a nice home, a happy family, no health issues. The Apostle Paul didn't have any of those things. Yet he was content.
Yeah.
I'd say that you would probably too say that the Apostle Paul was a great success.
Yes, sir.
Yet, he didn't have a home. He had health issues.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a happy family. He didn't have a family at all.
Mm.
He didn't have a nice car, nice job, big income. None of that.
Mm.
In fact, he called all of his accomplishments, which were big, by the way, he called them dung. And placed the highest value on simply knowing Christ.
Amen.
That was his perception of success.
Yes, sir.
What's yours? We have a warped perception of what the good life is all about.
So true.
Which is why we long for the good old days. We forget certain aspects of the good old days. We remember parts of it, like you could buy groceries for 10 bucks. We forget that we only made 70 bucks that week. But success has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with finding out what God put you here for and then setting out on a lifelong journey doing just that.
Amen.
That's what Paul did. And he was a great success.
Yes, sir.
Jesus' greatest success was on the cross. He didn't have a big home either.
Mm-mm.
He had no home. No income. No money. Paul's biggest desire, look in Philippians chapter 3. I think we need to read this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This was Paul's greatest desire. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And look at this. And in the fellowship of his sufferings.
Mm.
Being made conformable unto his death. Paul's biggest desire in life was to know Jesus. And he knew that the only way for that to happen was through suffering. Again, we have a warped perception of what the good life is all about. Our good life perception doesn't involve any problems.
Right.
No suffering, money in the bank. Jesus, again, his greatest success was on the cross, where he endured great suffering.
Yes.
The times in your life that you'll be closest to Jesus are the times where you've suffered the most. In fact, you'll probably never be a great success in Jesus' mind until you've suffered a lot. We avoid suffering at all costs. And then we also complain about it to those around us when it's going on. Sometimes even get mad at God over it. Yet it has a purpose.
Yes.
And that is to draw us closer to Jesus in our relationship with Him, closer to Him in our appearance of Him.
Amen.
You know, we're supposed to look like Jesus.
That's right.
Not physically. We don't even know what He looked like. But we're supposed to mirror His image in that we act just like He would. We would react just like He would.
Yes.
What if we allowed God to work in us and through us during our suffering instead of complaining about it? Instead of getting mad with Him? I know that's hard to do in the middle of it. It's easy to say that and talk about that when you're not in the middle of it. But yet, that's what we need to do. The good old days are here. They're now. You and I have a lot to be thankful for today.
Yes.
We have a lot of blessings to be thankful for.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes our blessings come in the form of a problem. Be thankful for those blessings, too.
Yes sir.
They'll draw you closer to Him if you let them. If knowing Christ is our ultimate objective, then the good old days weren't really that good. Because back then we didn't know Christ like we do now. The good old days are now. And better days are yet to come.
Amen.
You may slip up and use that term again in the future. I don't know. Solomon said, don't do it. It derails our thinking. It gets us to thinking that where we're at is not a good place. That's not true. We're at the place where God wants us to be. We're in the problems that He wants us to have so that we will become closer to Him and more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run from the problem. Learn from the problem. Again, I know it's easy to say that when you're not right in the middle of it. In the heat of the moment, it's difficult. But ultimately, I believe that's where God wants us to lean on Him the most.
Yes.
Look to Him the most. Trust Him during that heat, during that pain, during that suffering. Remember, that's what Paul said.
Yes.
That I may know Christ in His suffering. Paul did that. You and I will, if we're going to know Christ. And that ought to be our ultimate goal, is to know Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I have to admit I don't know You like I should. But I want to. And I pray that You would help me. Lord, help me to learn from the problems that You put in my path. Help me to lean on You, trust You, glorify You through them. Thank You, Father, for the blessings that You've given to me.
Yes, Lord.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to page 470.